feet stand. Amen. I'm grateful for your pastor, Pastor Randy, that's a friend, for inviting me. And for your pastor here, that you guys are blessed to have. Amen? I mean, I know him for a little bit. He's a young man that is full of God's spirit, a young man that loves the Lord, and a young man that God's going to use in this church to turn this community inside out for Christ. You are mighty blessed to have him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Well, my name is Willie Alfonso. I'm a New Yorker. I live in Staten Island, but I am not from Staten Island. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn. We got to get that straight. People say, you've been living in Staten Island for 40 years. So what? I'm from Brooklyn. That's where I'm from. Amen. My wife and I celebrated 50 years married this year. You know, 50 years. I'll be quite honest with you. I wouldn't stay with me 50 years, you know. When we get to heaven, she's going to live in a mansion. I'm going to live in the projects. You know, apartment 5F or something like that. You know, she stayed with me 50 years. I have three beautiful daughters. My oldest girl's 46. My other girl's 44. Then God has a great sense of humor. 15 years later, sent me another daughter. She's 30. All women in my house. I don't win jack. I don't win nothing. We're going to read a verse before we start. Verse that I love very dear to my heart. It's in Ezekiel 46, starting in verse 9. So if you have your Bible, your iPhone, your iPad, you can't say Bible anymore. If people got iPhones, iPads. And it's in Ezekiel 46, starting in verse 9. It reads like this. It says, that when the people of the land came before the Lord at the appointed feast, whomever entered by the north gate to worship is to go out the south gate, and whomever entered by the south gate is to go out the north gate. No one is to entered, let me read that again. When the people of the land came before the Lord at the appointed feast, whomever entered by the north gate to worship is to go out the south gate, and whoever entered by the south gate is to go out the north gate. No one is to return through the gate by which he entered, but each is to go out the opposite gate. Right? And some of you guys look at me, I can tell by you saying, what in the world does that mean? I got up this morning at 4 o'clock to come here. Got like an hour and a half, hour and 45 minute drive. I got up, you know, I took my shower, brushed my teeth, you know, because brother's clean, you know. And I have my coffee, I did my devotion like I do every single morning. You know, then I got in my car and I drove all the way down here. A lot of you guys got up this morning, did the similar thing. You got up, you took a shower, you got some coffee, you got yourself together, and you came here, right? And the Bible said, anytime you come to a place of worship, anytime you come to a place of feast, which is what church is, God's desire is that you come in one way, but that you leave different. Amen? It makes absolutely no sense for you to come to church this Sunday morning and leave the exact way you came in. That's dumb. You might as well have stayed home. So my prayer this morning is that something I may say will penetrate into your mind, your heart, and your spirit, and that you leave different. Amen? Amen? Listen, I'm a little Pentecostal. I need an amen now and then so I know we're in church. Amen? Amen? Now, I was licensed CMA for 10 years, but I've been hanging out with the Pentecostal brothers and sisters, so I got a little Pentecostal in me. I need an amen now and then. So I've been walking with the Lord for 40 years, 40 years. And as you saw in the story, you know, I come from a family, three boys, four girls, father alcoholic, beat my mom every day, beat us every single day. At the age of almost 11, I decided I was going to let my father beat my mom no more. I came to her defense. 3 days later, my father came back. And my parents threw me in the street. So I lived homeless. I lived in cardboard boxes. I lived in abandoned buildings. I would wake up in the morning and rats were biting my feet. I've eaten out of garbage cans. I was sniffing glue, sniffing Carbonas, sniffing Freon 12. Back then, the refrigerators were run by gas. It's illegal now. And we used to get a little ratchet wrench and pop the gas and sniff the gas. Smoking pot, drinking wine, snorting heroin, skin popping heroin, mainlining the heroin and cocaine. And that was my life. That's the way I lived. I would get clean, I go back, I get clean, I go back, I get clean, I go back. That was the monkey on my back. I've had ups, I've had downs, I've had tribulations, I've had trials. I was working in a print shop. I got a job at the print shop. Never went to school, didn't know how to read or write, but you would teach me something, I learned it. I wasn't stupid. I was working in a print shop. There was like 60 employees, all black and Hispanics, and one day they hired a new supervisor, a blonde hair, blue eye, white boy. And we said, we're going to eat this white boy up. Name was Otto Lang, the German brother. And Otto came in, and the first thing he said to me was he shook my hand, and he told me, Jesus loves you. And he took out his Bible, he opened it up, and he read me a verse. And I said, this is one sick white boy. Otto Lang would come every single morning. Every single morning he would come, tell me Jesus loved me, and read me a verse. And after a while, I got tired of it, so I took his Bible, and I took it to the glue machine. In the print shop, there's good glue. If you glue something, it's not going to open. So I glued his Bible, and Otto came in, picked up his Bible, took it to the cutter, cut the glue off, came to me, told me Jesus loved me, and read me a verse. And to make a long story short, because it's not time to tell the whole story, I got strung out again and my wife's going to leave me, so Otto invited me to church. And I went to church with him, and I sat all the way in the back, and I made this deal with God. You ever make a deal with God? God can handle any deal you make with him. When I made this deal, my language was filthy. God can handle any filthy mouth. Now, I don't talk to God that way now. I know better. I said, God, Jesus, whatever your name is, if you could take this habit off my back and my wife don't leave me, no one will ever serve you like me. And the preacher made an altar call. And I came down the aisle. I gave my life to the Lord, and I started this journey with God. I was 27 years old, but you know, you come to this walk and you come with all this luggage. You know, I'm personally a little sick and tired of hearing some of these preachers preached to you and to me, and they say to us, come to Jesus, everything gonna be all right. That's a lie. Now, some of y'all believe that, and I just popped your bubble, pop. You're believing that junk? Come to Jesus. Everything's going to be all right. That's a lie. You come to Jesus, everything's not going to be all right. But I'd rather go through what I'm going through with him than by myself. Amen? Amen. Remember, I'm a little Pentecostal, right? Amen? Amen? Say it like you mean it. Come to Jesus. Everything's going to be right. You know, in John 16:33, it tells us that in this world, we're going to have tribulations. We're going to have problems. Things are going to pop up. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I should be dead or dying of AIDS or doing life in prison. But this morning, as I stand here, this dark-skinned Puerto Rican brother that was homeless, that ate out of garbage cans, that lived in an abandoned building, is the chaplain to the New York Yankees. I'm the campus pastor to Teen Challenge, New Jersey, Lebanon. Those guys have come here. I'm their pastor. You know why? Because I was made for more. See, I wasn't made to be some statistic Puerto Rican boy, ODing in the corner somewhere, dropping dead. God didn't make me for that. He didn't make me for that. I don't know about you, but me, I'm a special dude, man. Created by God to do something special for God that only I could do. Oh, man, are you bragging? Yeah. I'm bragging. I ain't got no problem with it, man. I'm bragging on the Lord. I ain't bragging on me. I'm bragging on what God could do and what he's done. Like I said, I should be dead or dying of AIDS or doing life in jail. Yet I'm here because I was made for more. I was made for more. See, to get to this place of more, we got to have faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, the NIV says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we don't see. I love the Living Bible translation. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance of things we can't see. Where in my wildest dream when I was shooting dope did I think that one day I'll be sitting in a $12 million mansion with the greatest relief pitcher ever in the history of baseball, Mariano Rivera? Where? My wildest dream. You know, after 5 years of doing a Bible study with him, one day I said to him, yo, Mo. Well, you know, we call him Mo. I said, hey, Mo, say thank you, Jesus. He said, why? I said, just say it. What do you mean, just say it? Mo's a little stubborn. Mo, say thank you, Jesus. Why? Just say it, bro. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not on drugs no more, because I would have robbed you blind, brother. I want to tell you right now, there was nothing in that house that he bought in John's bargain store. Stuff in that house was worth some money. I would have backed up the truck. Toot, toot, toot. I would have robbed him blind, man. Here I am sitting with the greatest relief pitcher ever in the history of baseball. He was just entered the Hall of Fame for the first time, 100% unanimous vote. I'm sitting in his house. Mariano Rivera, ex-junkie, stick-up artist, sniffing glue, shooting heroin and cocaine, speedballs. That's God. That's Jesus. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, we got to have faith that nothing's impossible with God. When I was a chaplain to the Jersey Nets, then it became the Brooklyn Nets for 22 years. We got a guy that came there called Alonzo Mourning. For those of you that follow basketball, Alonzo Mourning, 6'10", 340 pounds, solid. He came to the Nets, and he was in his locker. And I came down, introduced myself. I said, Mr. Mourning, my name is Pastor Willis. Took up my hand, and he looked up, and he said, And when a 6'10", 345-pound brother go, you leave that brother alone. He was taller than me, sitting. And if you know the story, Alonzo's kidney broke down and almost died. And the day after the surgery, at 5 in the morning, the Lord wakes me up and tells me, go to the hospital and see Alonzo. I said, Lord, the brother says, But I went. Went in the room, he had a smile. He said, how you doing, Pastor Willie? I got a little ticked off. I said, I guess there's something about almost dying that now you don't mind seeing the pastor, huh? Started talking to him. Asked him, what are you going to do about Jesus? He said, you don't know what I've done. Said, I told him, let me tell you what I've done. Shared my story, and he gave his life to the Lord. Left the Nets, went back to play for the Miami Heat. Went to the championship, flew my wife and I out to be there that day. Flew us out. Then was inducted into the Hall of Fame, flew me and my wife out to be there, and was sitting in the audience as he's giving his acceptance speech. Here's the commissioner of basketball all of these legend basketball players, cameras from all over the world. And Alonzo said, Pastor Willie, stand up. He said, you see that man? He led me to Jesus. Where in my wildest dream, when I was shooting dope, did I think that was going to happen? Wrote a book that sold over 2 million copies. Chapter 10 is all about our friendship and how I led him to the Lord. Where in my wildest dream, but I was made for more. I was made for more. I was made for more than just dying in some corner of OD. And let me tell you this morning, you were made for more. You were made for more. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I'm 67 now. I'm collecting Social Security already. I told Social Security, I do not want a check. I want you to direct deposit because I don't want that check to bounce. I'm going to die at 110. I'm getting all my money, every dime of it. The 23rd of every month, ching, ching, right in my account. Got my Medicare card, the best insurance I ever had in my life. See, any doctor I want, anywhere, anytime. I paid my dues. Where in my wildest dream did I think I would make 67? But God, I was made for more. You were made for more. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied. You know, 7 months ago, a buddy of mine called me up and told me they're looking for a chaplain on Wall Street. These three brokerage houses, want to bring in a non-denominational guy that understands, you know, people with little money because the absentees and the people are going through so much stuff that maybe having a chaplain will help them. So I went for the interview. I got the job. Let me tell you something. It pays some serious money. Man, when they told me how much it paid, I said, ching, ching. I got my blessing just came in. Hallelujah. The benefits were off the hook. I took the job. 2 days later, Pastor Todd, the executive director, the pastor of the Teen Challenge, calls me up. He says, can we have lunch? I said, sure, we had lunch. He says to me, you know, I've been praying to bring in a guy to be the campus pastor of the Teen Challenge. And let me tell you how much it pays. Oh, Lord, I can't even tell you how much it was. No benefits. None. Zero. More like an honorarium. And I went home, told my wife, and I felt God saying to me, to whom much is given, much is required, and I have blessed you. I want you to not take that Wall Street job and take that Teen Challenge job. And that's what I did. Amen? Now, people think that I work for the Yankees. I don't work for the Yankees. I'm a missionary with Campus Crusade, Athletes in Action. I got to raise my own support. Yankees ain't paying me nothing. I wish they did. I felt God say to me, at your age is your time to deposit in others. 40 years that I've been depositing in you is your time to deposit in others. Haven't I always taken care of you? Have you ever missed the mortgage? I've been close. Nah, I'm going to tell you right now, I love being at Teen Challenge. Got 56 hustlers trying to out-hustle me. Man, I love it, man. I say, bring it on, brother. 56 guys, what I have forgotten, they'll never know. Every day, giving me that song and dance. Nah, ain't gonna work. I'm watching guys come to Christ and change their life. I'm seeing champions for God in Teen Challenge. You guys support Teen Challenge. Thank you. thank you. See, churches like this that support ministries like Teen Challenge, God's going to bless you. God bless you, man. Because this building is not the church. Out there and you, that's the church. That's the church. See, to get to where God wants you to get to the more, you got to have faith. Here in Matthew 17, 20, it says, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing's impossible with God. The New Living Translation says, you don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible with God. How's your faith this morning? How's your faith? This church, this is your community. People out here lost. You got a whole lot of Willie Alfonso's out here. What are you doing? What are you doing to see to come to the kingdom? A couple of you just gave me a bad look. I don't care. I ain't your pastor. I'm leaving. You get mad at me all you want. I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. I'm getting my car going back to New York. God's desire is for you guys to turn this community inside out for Jesus. Inside out. That if I come back next year, every service will be jam-packed to the brim. Saturday, you have to go to a Friday, Saturday, Sunday too. You have to break this wall and expand. Why? You don't have the faith that that could happen? I do, and it's not even my church. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. Because you were made for more. What do you need to have faith for? Your marriage this morning? You need to trust that God can do something miraculously in your marriage? It's not impossible. It's not impossible. Maybe a job. You need a job. Or things aren't working well in your job. Nothing's impossible with God. Maybe the healing. I had a knee replacement 3 years ago. I have not healed from it. You notice I didn't stand for worship because I can't. I refuse to take any pain medication because I know that if you use drugs, there's a part of your brain that goes to sleep. And if you start taking these pills, it's going to wake that up. And I'd rather go through pain than to be hooked on drugs again. I want to be the pastor to Teen Challenge. I don't want to be a resident. See, my brain is stuck. There's nothing wrong with my knee. My brain keeps sending a message to my knee that it hurts, so therefore it hurts. It's like phantom pains. So I'm taking an experimental medication that grabs the message and sends it back to my brain. Technology is crazy. So I'm 60% better. 8 months ago, I thought I'd be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. Maybe you're believing for healing. Maybe you're believing for one of your kids. Well, guess what? Remember I said those pastors, they say, come on to Jesus. Everything's going to be all right. That's baloney. My youngest girl, she doesn't walk with God today. She decided to walk away from the Lord, raising the things of God, did ministry with me for years, walked away from the Lord, wants nothing to do with God. But I don't care where she goes. I got a promise from God. I got a promise from God, and guess what? You lie, and I lie, but God don't lie. What he say he gonna do, he gonna do. And he says, raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they get older, they won't depart. I don't care what she runs to. Wherever she goes, he there before she get there. She was made for more. Her name is Krista. Pray for her. You don't need to know what her problem is. Ain't none of your business. God knows. So you got to be careful about telling people your kids' business, because then they come back to the Lord and everybody know their business. Amen? I've learned a little something. You were made for more. You were made for more, guys. This church was made for more. Was made for much more than what it has right now. God wants to use this church. God wants you to stir up the gift that's in you. Your pastor cannot do it by himself. He can't do it by himself. He's not called to be a one-man game. No one in Major League Baseball could win a World Series by himself. Nobody in the NBA could win an NBA championship by himself. No one in the NFL could win a Super Bowl by themselves. Your pastor needs you. And all the gift and all the talent that's needed is right in this room. If you would stir up the gift that's in you, if you would fan the flame of the gift that's in you, and you would volunteer, if this is your church, to see this community inside, get inside out for the Lord, you'll blow it up. Anybody here like chocolate milk? I love chocolate milk, man. I don't know about here, but in New York, the chocolate of New York is Bosco. I love Bosco so much, I named my dog Bosco. Right? And if you want a glass of chocolate milk, first you got to get a glass of milk, then you got to get some what? Some Bosco. Now you take the Bosco and you pour it in, right? Now you drink it, right? No, you got to stir it up, right? Now you drink it, right? No, you look at the bottom, make sure you got it all, right? And that's what God is saying. Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir it all up, man. Stir it all up. Stir it all up, man. Because you were made for more. This church was made for more. Your family was made for more. Your children were made for more. Your grandchildren were made for more. I have two grandkids. My granddaughter just went to high school. She was made for more. See, my mom and my dad, they both passed away. I'm 67 years old. My parents have never once told me they love me. Not once. But I can't control that. I can control what I do. Every single day, I call or text my kids and my grandkids and my son-in-law, because I have the best son-in-law in the world. And I tell them that I love them. Every day, I tell my wife that I love her. Every single day, I say, baby, you looking so fine. Man, Lord have mercy. I'm in love with you, baby. We were made for more, guys. This church was made for more. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it, man? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that we know we were made for more, Lord God. But maybe, just maybe, there's somebody in this room, as everyone's eyes are closed and head is bowed, maybe there's someone in this room that's never given their life to Jesus. And this is your day. The Bible says the day of salvation is today. It's not tomorrow. This morning at 5:15, when I was coming here, probably around 6 o'clock, I was on 287, and a deer popped up, and I missed it by inches. I could have ran into that deer, wrecked that my car, killed me. The Bible says the day of salvation is today, is now. Listen, I want to get in my car and go home. That's not promised to me. If you have never given your life to the Lord, this is your time. This is the place. God sent you here this morning specifically to get right with God, to get right with Jesus. And if that's you, in the quietness of your seat as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, you could talk to him. Go ahead, talk to him. Tell him, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Go ahead. And Lord, I know you went to that cross for me. Past, present, and future sins were nailed on that cross for me. Talk to him. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart. Talk to him. I want to be born again this morning. And if you prayed that prayer, will you raise a hand and say, that's me? That's me. Amen. Anybody else will raise their hand and say, that's me? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anybody else will raise their hand and say, that's me this morning? That's me, man. Amen. That's me. Yo, no more. I'm tired. I was made for more. I'm tired. Tired of the junk. Tired for the way I messed up my life. I need to start fresh and new with God. If you raise your hand, I tell you what, let me see how much you mean it. Let me see how much you mean it, man. Meet me right here. You have your hand up, meet me right here. Come on, meet me right here. I want to pray with you. If you picked up your hand, meet me right here. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Stay right here. Come on. I told your hand. Come on, man. Don't be embarrassed. The Bible says, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you, man. Just meet me here with men, with ladies, with people. Come on, meet me right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? This is your moment. This is your time. Guys, pray this prayer with me. I want to hear you though. Say, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I know you went to the cross for me. Past sins, present sins, future sins. Forgive me. Come into my heart. I want to be born again this morning. I want your spirit. To live in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know what the Bible says?
Okay, I'm so sorry. Hey, what I also recognize is that a lot of us have family members that we want to find their way back to Christ. A lot of you that have children that have ran away from Christ, family members, cousins, aunts, brothers, or whatever the case may be. And y'all, I'm not here if my mother didn't stand in the gap for me. People in my life didn't stand in the gap for me. So here's what I need. I was just sitting there, God put this on my heart. If there's someone in your life that you need to experience the love of God, the power of God, can you come down here and stand there for them? We have enough room at this altar. If there's someone in your life that you need, that I need this person to experience God now. Because let's be honest, if one person hurting, the family's hurting. I don't want this moment to pass. There's enough room. Make room for everybody, guys.
Yeah, spread out.
Spread out.
A lot of room.
Enough room.
Hallelujah.
There's enough room.
Praise God.
I don't care if one child, every child, whomever it may be.
And I'm standing here with you for my daughter. I'm standing here for my daughter. We got to trust God, guys. You know, this Christian thing, this is not a myth. This is not some fairy tale. You know, this is not something from Buddha, from somewhere. This is real. You don't believe it's real? Look at me. That's how real it is. For those that gave your life to the Lord this morning, the Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. There's a party going on in heaven. And for those of you that are standing here on behalf of your loved one, let's raise our hand. Lord God, we believe you, God. I raise my hand with them for my girl, Krista. We believe you, Lord God. We trust you, Lord God. We know there's something, even this week, even today, something's going to happen, Lord God. Something's going to happen. Some supernatural power from heaven is going to come down and touch their loved ones, Lord God. Because they are standing in the gap for them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise your mighty name, Lord God. Nothing's impossible with you, Lord God. Absolutely nothing. We come with full confidence knowing that you are God that moves, Lord God. You're a God that moves. You're a God that produces, Lord God. You're a God that loves us, loves our children, loves our loved ones, those who are represented here this morning. Look at the hands, Lord God. Would you reach your hand down from heaven and meet them, Lord God, right now? Why can't we ask that? Thank you, mighty God. Thank you for the faithfulness of these people to come down, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Meet them in a special way today in the mighty name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit that is moving mightily, Lord God, in this church this morning. Your anointing is here powerfully, Lord God, moving this morning, Lord God. You are going to meet us in a special way. I know it because I know it because I know it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.